Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, comedian Omar Abid, wedding celebrant Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. Last one, final episode.
I'm so pleased you have to say Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates Instagram. Final time saying that for a few months. Yeah. In your nightmares.
For once, I actually made note of a listener's name. Because in our last episode, you guys were talking about Lauren's earrings.
Yes. So beautiful. Those big gold
hoops. The amazing
hoops.
Dinner party.
Like earrings. Embellished.
Yeah, and you were very keen to see if you could find some.
Yes.
And a listener, Dixie Rowland. I mean, that's her Instagram handle. I don't know if that's her actual.
Great name.
Yeah. actually messaged us and said, just so Sarah and Claire know, they are Fulani earrings, which I looked into it because I thought, I might just get you some as a surprise.
Oh, thank you. You mean me as well?
Get both your wives some Fulani earrings.
But then it turned out Fulani isn't a brand. It's like a West African tribe culture.
Yeah. Now we're wondering about cultural appropriation.
Should we wear these earrings or not? But they're so nice.
Can we get the Claire's accessories version?
But there you go. Thank you for letting us know about that.
Yeah, cool.
We also had someone who messaged on Twitter to say they were listening on their walk back from the Fulham Crystal Palace match.
Oh, so they like football.
There is a crossover. Yeah,
the Venn diagram joins by a tiny little cross.
They said they think they're the one and only person.
Well, since you only got one tweet, they might be right.
You're really catering to that person though, Omar, with your football references.
I mean, in fairness, Johnny would be in that Venn.
Well, I thought.
Oh, there we go.
He's obsessed.
Does he still listen? Has
he's
given
obsessed
up?
With football. Does he listen to us?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he knows he gets mentioned so much.
Listening for his own name.
He just got mentioned in the first 2 minutes, bloody hell. To wind it in.
Big week. Final.
Well, last week.
What?
Last week. Big week last week.
It's the last week.
You're both right.
I mean, especially after the final vows.
Dull as dishwater.
Yeah.
I know, I didn't realise quite how much drama.
Is it dishwater or ditchwater?
Dish.
Is it?
Dishwater. Dull as dishwater.
I think dish.
It's always been dish.
Tweet us at Max Hysteria.
Do you think it was ditch?
I think it might be ditch. This seems unnecessary to bring it up now, but because I did think about bringing it up several times during the series.
Oh no, you've brought this up with me, haven't you?
Go on, what is it?
Are you going to say about yin and yang?
Yeah, people always say, including you two, yin, yang. It's not, it's yin.
Yin and yang.
Yeah. But I did know that. I knew that. And what I tried to say to Omar was, when you say it quickly,
yeah,
it sounds like yin and yang.
Yeah.
I can't do it without
I know
the
that
G.
from doing yin yoga. So I knew that was a thing. Exactly. Thank you, Omar. But you're right. When you say it quick, it's got a good, 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 good.
I can't not say it without the G.
Why the mistake is made. But it's a mistake nonetheless.
It's not. It's just how it sounds to your ears.
And is it vice versa or vice versa? Because people say vice versa.
I think it's vice versa.
Yeah, me
too.
Yeah. Did you ever see that film with Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage? The Body Swap.
That's such a good film. Yeah. I used to love that.
That's a classic 80s film.
They get this
like Face Off.
No, it's more like Freaky Friday.
Yeah. I love Freaky Friday.
It's more like that, but with men.
It's far less violent than Face Off. Although, I haven't seen Face Off,
I hasten to add.
A little maths link. You said Face Off, John Travolta. Who was dressed like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever?
No, it was Tim.
Tim as
Tim.
Oh, yeah, it was Tim.
Tim
it was
at the
Tim,
commitment ceremony.
You were slagging off Sarah's dress.
Did he?
He had a white suit with a black shirt.
Oh, I missed
full
that.
Full on Saturday Night Fever.
Ridge was very 70s, though. The whole thing was very 70s.
I would like to make a point here while we're talking about what people are wearing. Are they told to come matching? So
it's been
many
a lot
of
this
them.
Year.
I think it's been a thing they've decided amongst themselves.
Do you know what I noticed? Even people who weren't together were coming matching. So like at one point, I think it was the dinner party, even like Richie and Andy both came in like a powder pink.
Yeah, Tristan and Cassandra both came
raspberry.
In that like bright pink.
But these are people coming separately in the exact same colour. And I'm like, have the producers said, right, it looks really nice if you can be powder blue and you can be like apple green. Because it was really weird.
There was a lot of... Yeah. There's been a lot this year, matchiness.
A lot.
I also noticed in a previous episode, I think Lauren, it might have been, said something about, oh, I don't want to be sat on the ottoman all night. I didn't quite know what she meant. But then at this dinner party, you could see that some of them are on settees, but others, there's just like a flat bench type thing.
The commitment ceremony.
No back support for hours and hours.
Can you imagine, like Mel said, if you're there from like, what, 6 in the afternoon till 3 in the morning?
So you can't put the older ones on there. You need your back support.
Yeah.
Is it like a hierarchy of like, Ridge, you're young.
You put Jaden Ridge on that ottoman.
Oh, I'd hate that.
Especially, it does just seem like this time at the dinner party as well, it was just sit where you want. Kind of thing. It's you get in and then you're like,
I know, but why on earth would you choose to sit opposite your nemesis?
This is what I couldn't really understand, that if they hadn't put name settings on,
why
did it end up that Jono and Ellie were pretty much opposite Lauren but also Sarah and Tim?
Yeah, true.
Do you know how I want to start by saying I really do like Jono and Ellie. Psych! I absolutely hate them.
I wasn't sure how long I could keep in there, Sarah. No.
They were awful.
Awful.
They were so bad. So
horrendous.
Bad.
So indelicate, so smug. I honestly kept wanting to throw stuff at the TV.
But also, why were they angry? Do you remember when they just switched and got angry? Why are you angry?
It was mad.
It was awful.
So if we roll back to the beginning.
Yes.
And they were like, Lauren doesn't know that they're arriving together. And he said to her, you had to kiss a toad.
Yeah.
Oh.
And in fairness, we never liked Ben, so I let that one slide.
Yeah, well, that's
and
fair.
Then she said, and you had to slay a dragon.
I know.
But why is Lauren being painted?
And then he said, to get my princess.
It's pathetic. Oh. But Lauren's being painted as this absolutely awful person, and she hasn't done anything.
I know.
Yeah, the whole car journey, I hated him by the end of the car journey.
The laughter was just
giggling.
That smug laughter was
and she,
awful.
She had this like unbelievable weird manic energy, weird giggling.
It was really,
cat that got the cream, very much. But it's weird because I feel like that's not the Ellie we thought we knew.
No.
I know.
At all.
And to a certain extent, I could understand you're not going to have the giggly, fun side of yourself when you're with Ben.
Yeah.
So I can understand to a certain extent.
But
she's
vindictive.
Yeah.
But we never saw that.
No.
Before we get stuck in, because I've got so many things to say about them too. Because there's other stuff about the getting ready for the dinner party.
Yeah, we've really leapt in there.
Yeah, because who was the first person that we saw?
Oh, disco ball!
In that gold jumpsuit with the flares.
Glamour's on Amazon.
She went, I'm coming in for a bit of jolly fun.
She is gonna get that just from.
I mean, I want that outfit.
That is amazing.
More than jumpsuit. I want those earrings. I want
and
that
those
outfit.
Shoes as well. Did you spot platforms. The shoes? Like,
massive, massive platform.
Yeah, they're
she's just
them with
so
the flare,
game for a laugh. Like, you know, they told her, can you stand on the table and shimmy around? And she was like, sure.
Yeah? And then she went, I feel like I need music. She's just dancing around the apartment with the music in her head.
She's so lovable. And I always think, well, I've always thought with her in this series, her sort of persona could come very close to being unbearable. Mm. You know, somebody who's like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at you, Omar. Somebody who's like wildly into their crystals and their like feelings and dresses mad and acts mad, but she's so lovable with it. Yeah. Because she's very self-aware.
Yeah, definitely.
She's like, they're going to think I'm mad singing out the window.
Well, I remember... Claire from last year.
My impression's got no better.
Claire from last year of Claire and Jessie. He was put off by her crystal chat. I think she was sort of borderline. I could, if I was partnered with her, I could probably tolerate it because it didn't seem like she went on about it loads.
Mm-hmm.
But she's going to have to accept. As I would like, I'd accept it from her. But I mean, there's a certain point where you just go like, well, what? I don't. It's not for me, so you're going to have to accept that I don't care about it.
But I think we've said this about Lucinda. She's not like a Bible basher with it. Yeah. She doesn't push it on anyone. She's just like, well, this is my crazy spirity side, and what are you like? And she's so open to how other people are that she never acts like she's superior. You know how some people, if they have like a set belief, they'll act like, well, they're enlightened and you're not.
You should do what I've done.
Yeah. And like, oh, why don't you know your horoscope sign? Or why don't you do this? Or why? And she doesn't do that. She's just so brilliant.
Yeah.
And such a human disco ball. That is her.
I know I picked you up on the whole yin yang thing earlier. sometimes mistakes are better than saying things properly. For example, it's reunion time. I have so much thoughts in my head.
Oh, wow. Was that her?
No, was Collins.
Oh.
Did you not notice how many times he said, it's reunion time.
It's reunion time.
I'm tempted to call this episode, it's reunion time.
Yeah, and then, God love him, he got absolutely no airtime.
No, he didn't, I know.
But no, they cut to him when it was the whole Jono... telling Sarah about what Tim had said.
Yeah.
And Collins was just loving it because he was getting to watch Maths
Maths
Australia live and in person. It's a front row ticket.
He was just watching an episode play out in front of his eyes, wasn't he?
Mad. I mean, I know we'll come to this, but the screen time people got was really mad in terms of the, like, uneven...
Well, when Richie and Andy, we did...
But I mean, we saw them come in, but that was it.
When we come to the commitment ceremony, some people weren't shown at all.
Yeah.
We'll come to that. But it was very strange. And also, you would never have suspected from the beginning that by the time we got to the last episode, Jono and Ellie would dominate.
Yeah.
They've been such boring characters. And then suddenly, you get to the final hurdle, and it's all about them. And I'm like, oh, how have you managed to wangle this?
And that's quite annoying.
We didn't even
see
much of Jack and Tori, which is obviously good. But we saw more of Jono and Ellie than anybody, really. Has there ever been
a
villain couple?
Yeah.
They came and swiped the trophy right at the end.
Omar, you did some unintentional foreshadowing there.
swiping the trophy, and I am going to use football analogy. You don't.
For your one follower
and Johnny.
You don't win the league with the starting 11. It's the squad players. It's the ones who were left out earlier on.
Oh.
They've got the legs at the end of the season.
That makes sense.
So Jono and Ellie, they were on the bench for a
Ellie
lot of
was benched very early.
But then she comes on fresh, last minute goal in the decider.
I mean, she came out with something that was bleeped. I don't know if everybody saw this.
Oh, yes.
I've got a little surprise message.
Oh, okay.
To play later.
I'll pause on that.
I mean, I'm sure you can guess what she said anyway. I've got a message.
Okay, we'll come back to that then.
So
that was a shocker.
I found it really cute when Tristan saw Cass come in. My ex-wife!
He was on good form, wasn't he?
Like, just before we get into them arriving, what about the venue? How come it was like different place?
I know, it was so nice.
Well, it was strange because when we met Mel, on Zoom, she said that it always has to be night time at that venue, yeah. and I'd never understood why. This one, it was actually light outside.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And it turned into evening, so I don't know if they had like a longer licensing here, or it was available.
I didn't know if it was because that was the venue they were going to use for the new show, maybe. And so, however many weeks later, they filmed the reunion there because maybe they were already set up for the new show.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, she said, I mean, it was a beautiful venue.
She said that, Mel said that the old venue, if it is the old venue, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's under a flight path for airplanes. Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like production, it makes no sense production-wise if you have to pause. She said you have to pause. If someone was crying on the couch, you'd be like, just hold that thought.
Yeah.
I can't do a plane noise.
Heavy rain.
I've just realised I can't do a plane.
I've never been asked to on cue.
We didn't ask.
Fair enough.
Yeah, the venue was interesting. It's just weird seeing somewhere.
It was really weird.
But you could also see people coming in because they didn't have the shade fully pulled
down. Because it was a bit of a clouded glass, wasn't it? Whatever they call that.
Yeah. Opaque.
We had opaque glass. Lucinda was in first. And then
I think she was almost disappointed to be first because I think she typed herself up with all her table dancing and I think she wanted to be like, oh, I'm here!
Yeah.
Because she's such a lovable character and arriving first is a bit of a wet flower, isn't it? But and then she did a little posing.
For Jaden and Eden.
And they were very underwhelmed. Like, you're right. She was first, looking absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a part of Lucinda that wanted to turn Timothy's head? After having been chatting for a month but not having seen each other, does she still hold any sort of flame for him? Because I'm unsure on this.
I know.
Do you want him to think you're hot because you just want him to think you're hot? On the final one, you're not bothered about being together.
Yeah, and also he sort of let her go.
Yeah,
so there is a bit of I'll show you how good.
I mean, she looked amazing.
She did, her makeup and everything. She got a little fringe.
She got a little fringe. Not everyone can pull off a fringe, Claire.
It's tricky.
Well, you were saying you felt they'd all had a glow up as you.
Yeah, did
it.
You think this?
Well, I always notice. Why when did they? When there's been a month,
amazing.
Well, Jade was extremely tanned.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that was sunbeds or Australia.
You were going, she should have thought about her tan lines.
She was extremely tanned, but she had like a bikini line here.
Some of them, you get the sense that when there's been a month, they've had time to top up their highlights, their Botox, their fillers, their eyebrows.
That's
and so
true, fair
people
enough.
Sometimes look a bit more tweaked, don't they, when they come back?
Yeah, and I didn't know if maybe they give them a makeup artist for the reunion, that maybe they wouldn't get every week at the dinner party.
Yeah.
But do they give them that? Because it's reunion time.
Maybe.
Because their makeup was amazing. I mean, I wasn't keen on that green.
The green. I thought she looked... Do you mean Jade?
That was a bit much.
No, I quite liked that. I think because she's younger, she can pull off like experimental.
True. I think they had a makeup artist in. That's my
opinion. I was like, can we talk about football, please?
Well, no, I was going to say, weren't keen on Jaden and Ridge's moustaches.
Oh, no, I really wasn't.
Do moustaches count as a glow up?
Not in this case.
It's less effort, isn't it?
That's true. Although you've got to like groom around.
Yeah, well, see, I thought this when I first grew a beard, I was like, I can't be bothered shaving anymore. It's annoying. But then it only takes me a few weeks for it to be obvious that I'm growing a beard. So then once you've got a beard, it's then only another few weeks for that beard to become unruly. But you know, the mustaches I wasn't a fan of. No. Jaden, who was still just going on about Sarah, loves it. It's his favourite thing.
he really does. He's mentioned her more almost than he's mentioned Eden.
Yeah, he was very vague about it though.
He was like, there's more that'll come out. But I don't know.
What was he actually saying?
I don't think he even knew the Jono thing that was going to get dropped.
But I don't know. His glee about it, I think you mentioned it, described it as glee before. It didn't quite make sense to me because he seemed to be calling Sarah out or wanting to call Sarah out. But it sounds like Tim was the one who was unsure about his final vows. What's that got to do with Sarah?
I know. Well, I think it was something different. I honestly don't know.
Think it was something that didn't come out? Perhaps?
I don't know. Or I think it's just Jaden having a hunch that, like, oh, she's been lying the whole way through. It was really made me laugh. I think this is the preamble when they're having their drinks. And someone said to Timothy, so how have you been? He went, oh, it's been so nice not to talk about my feelings. It's been so good.
I haven't had to talk about my feelings in so long.
Yeah, that's what he said.
We had a big moment, I thought. Penultimate couple, I think, walking in, Jack and Tori, and it cut to the experts, and Mel goes, still together.
Yeah.
Alessandra goes, wow.
Yeah. There was not a hint of joy, was there?
Yeah.
No. You know, it was like, oh, wow, she's really... Like, it's been a month in the real world.
Yeah. We didn't really see them that much in the at the dinner party, did we?
No, we didn't.
I think there was some quite revealing stuff when we come to the commitment ceremony. But yeah, the dinner party, they barely got any airtime.
Yeah. And then, obviously, final couple, Jono and Ellie coming in, and everyone's head spun round.
Oh,
I did a tweet of the... you know that reaction shot from the Oscars where they announced the wrong winner?
Yeah.
it was like that.
La La Land! Oh, crap. What I liked was somebody asked Lauren, I think before Jono and Ellie arrived, how are you feeling? And she said, I'm still hurt. And I liked that for two reasons. One, like... You know, like sometimes there's quite a lot of bravado where you pretend no one's got to you, like, and, oh, I don't care about him. But she was honest. But also, she got in there before she'd even seen they were together.
Yeah.
Because then later on, she was accused of playing up and trying to play the victim. But she said, I'm still hurt, and looked quite crushed even before they arrived.
Yeah.
And I think she's been really genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, people have their own opinions, but we see her talking to camera and looking really flustered and upset when no one else is there.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah,
it's not for show. It's not for Jono. It's not for Ellie. It's not for show.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes she goes really quiet and in on herself and looks really upset and isn't saying anything.
Yeah, she was very much at the start of the dinner party.
She laid it out.
And she had to be sat opposite them.
I mean, we said in our previous episode when all this stuff came out about the final vows that Jono's totally rewriting what's happened during the series.
Massively.
And he did it even more so in these two episodes. It was absolutely absurd, like talking about... I've had to walk through hell on broken glass.
Yeah.
It's like, mate, you wrote stay every week.
Yeah, and you were frying lobster about 2 weeks ago.
And you had sex 2 weeks ago.
It's walking on broken glass, please.
Sounds fucking horrific, mate. I feel really sorry.
I know, seriously.
He might be the worst one. The fact that
he might actually be the worst one.
It's come so late.
Played the good guy.
Yeah.
But I think Jono's one of those people, and we're all guilty of it. I do this all the time. You start to believe your own narrative. Like, I think he thinks he's telling the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Are people guilty of that? Does that happen?
You tell a story enough and you play the... Like, I do genuinely think he thinks that he wasn't cheating on Lauren.
Yeah.
And Lauren manipulated the situation for her benefit. I think that's what he genuinely thinks.
Uh-huh.
He's obviously not right.
Yeah.
But he's said it so many times to himself. I think he's confident in his own lies.
Another thing in the taxis on the way there that I thought was interesting was Lauren saying, I'm interested to talk to Ellie to see what her feeling was on the messages as to whether it was innocent or trying to chat me up, because a girl always knows. And it's like, well, I think we all know what she thought of those messages now.
And
it's fairly, like, self-evident.
And as the viewer, we cut between the taxi where they're like all over each other, and then Lauren...
Smug laughter.
Yeah, and then Lauren wanting the answers, and you're like, oh, they're going to walk in together and you're going to have all your answers as a smack in the face.
I mean, I know the answer to this, but just for the purposes of discussion. Is there any justification for not giving Lauren a heads up?
I'm surprised that she would have expected a heads up.
Right.
Because I think, and I, this is maybe far too stereotypical, but I did say this to you last night when we were watching it, I just don't think men would generally do that.
No.
And, you know, they've left final vows and they're left on bad terms and they've had zero communication.
They left just like arch enemies.
Yeah. So if they'd maybe had a bit more of an amicable split, so to speak, then there might have been more likelihood for him to do that.
Yeah.
But he went away just like, well, he said it at the dinner party, didn't he? You're the nastiest person I've ever met, which we'll come back to.
Yeah.
But he went away just like, you're bad, I'm good, why should I do anything for you?
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought he'd ever give her a heads up. But I'm also surprised in the, like, whisperings of Maths world.
I know.
That she had no clue that they were together, because it has been a full month.
And it seemed like nobody had any clue
you
either.
You said that, because you said... Oh, Jono's been talking to...
Tim
and to Jaden then, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
So all that stuff about Sarah has come up.
Yeah.
But nothing about Helen.
I wonder if they knew it would be a better impact to keep it really secret.
Yeah.
And they wanted to... Because they came in so smug, it was unbearable.
Yeah.
There wasn't a sense of, like, awkwardness or embarrassment or, like, reading the room. it was so embarrassing, the secondhand embarrassment I felt watching them be that smug, come in and just lord it over everybody.
It's unbelievable.
It's like they wanted that shock factor.
The problem is with someone being that smug, and Jono's, the way Jono approaches things is it only leaves you sort of two options, where you end up getting angry and then he sort of won because he definitely does the whole like, oh, I'm rational, I don't care, you know, like,
it's infuriating.
But the only way to beat that is to be even more cold and logical.
Yeah,
you know, with logic is something that was used about someone else later on.
These two logical men.
but it's you know, it's incredibly hard to do that in the moment. I think most people would struggle to do that.
I really feel for Lauren, like having her character like dragged like that.
It was fucking cruel. It was some of the worst stuff I've seen. In,
like flipping the script 180 from him having hurt her to like, well, you deserved it. You're the nurse. Anyway,
But she called him a dog. Fucking hell, what a nightmare. Is that like some horrendous...
No,
horrendous
and probably she called him a dog after he did what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we go back? Because I know we'll talk about them loads. The people who got no airtime, Michael and Stephen.
Yeah.
When Stephen came in the room... Michael said, I'm still single, by the way. And there was a little blip.
He did say, you look whatever in that suit.
Yeah, you look delicious or whatever. There was definitely a bit of flirtation. I was a bit gutted that they weren't given any airtime either at the dinner party or a little bit on the sofa, just to be like, well, have you spoken since you left the experiment? And like, clearly there's a little bit of attraction still there. Anyway, I was just a bit annoyed that we didn't see everybody's journey or hear from them at all.
I don't know. I mean... Again, commitment ceremony stuff. You thought we'd see more of Jade and Ridge, didn't you? Because
they weren't in the commitment ceremony.
Because I said to you, what is the final commitment ceremony? Reunion one. Is it normally just the couples that have made it to final vows? Do they just do the couples who have the best story?
Because Lucinda and Tim obviously
how they normally do it. But I felt like they basically just substituted out Jade and Ridge for Lucinda and Timothy, didn't make it to final vows anyway.
I was going to come to this obviously when we talk about the commitment ceremony, but I'll say it now because we're talking about it. Do you think they filmed Jade and Ridge and there was nothing interesting?
I think so.
But in a way, like, they're the most fascinating out in the real world couple, because has he met V more? Has he made plans? Obviously,
think they're the ones who are going to potentially last,
or have trouble because it's much more real world problems. Why weren't they shown at all?
Yeah. I think that's what it was. I think they were filmed.
It was boring.
Well, when we get to the end of this, of our episode now, that we are currently this.
We're going to see if they're still together.
We'll have a look.
I've held off looking at anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, but...
I've seen one spoiler.
Yeah, but somebody did message us on Instagram and say that they believe that the Maths cast don't get their own Instagrams back until the 5th of May. But so they suggested we should check that So Dramatic.
The 5th of May?
Our rival podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're not really rivals. they're a lot bigger than us.
They're our arch nemesis. Yeah.
No, but I'm not sure. I saw that message.
Yeah.
And it may well be true, but I definitely know one spoiler about something which I've seen these participants post.
Yeah, me too.
I would have thought they'd have them back by now because it's done there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's months finished ago. In Australia. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out.
So, before we get into the proper juicy drama, did everyone spot Madeline wasn't there?
Yes.
Yep. And is she the only person not there?
I think so.
And married couple.
Jinx.
And is that because she feels like the show was beneath her? She embarrassed herself? She didn't like Ash? Like, how did it end?
I asked you about this, didn't I? And you seem to have a bit of insider information about why she wasn't
there. Well, from what I've seen online, it's that she didn't like the process.
Yeah.
They all hated her.
What, all the producers?
All the cast and the producers the production and everything.
Oh, dear.
So I think it was just better for everyone. And let's be honest, how much airtime was she going to get anyway?
Yeah, that's true.
Unless she had voices during the dinner party.
Unless she had a psychic download.
About whether Sarah slept with her ex. That would be quite helpful. Yeah, whether John was a snake. I'm getting a download. He is. No, it's just interesting because it's like... Again, with like Natalie and Collins, Ash and Madeline, you get a place on this show And then you possibly have very little airtime, slash no real story to take from it. Or I don't know.
Now you mention it again, I think we did see that one moment with Natalie and Collins, though, where they were at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
And
he said, have you
been? Yeah, I've been all right.
You?
Good.
It's so awkward.
It is so awkward.
Bless. I actually wanted to see more of Collins. I wanted to see, like, and her, just to see if they'd learnt anything.
Yeah,
like Natalie and Collins is a good example because I would just be interested. They're both fascinating people. Right at the beginning of this experiment, we liked them. Didn't see anything from them really at the dinner party or the commitment ceremony. Almost pointless them being there. And pointless Ash being there because we saw nothing from him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just like, do people get a bit robbed of the proper experience by...
I'm not bothered about them being robbed though. I think
it seems like a shame. It does seem like a shame to not hear from them or see them.
I think I'm just nosy and I'd like to know. Anyway.
I mean, I'm not bothered about hearing any more about Richie and Andy, for example.
No.
They're one of the bigger couples. They lasted,
Were in it for longer, whereas Natalie and Collins left so abruptly.
Mm.
I don't know, I guess because she was grieving. Is she feeling any better? Is she open to... Mm. I don't know. He was fascinating, him. Like, I'd like to... bless him. Maybe we should get to the proper drama.
Yes.
Stop talking about the bit part characters and talk about...
There's no time to talk about the main
villains.
I mean, to be fair, we've spent more time talking about them
than they were on the,
on the show.
For the entire show.
What did you think of Ellie blanking Lauren?
It was really rude, and she hasn't got a leg to stand on that she forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because at first she said she didn't hear.
Didn't hear.
Yeah. Which I think that could be believable in that scenario.
Enough.
Yeah.
But you can't then say you forgot.
I know, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, she said she didn't feel the need to say anything.
She had three different excuses.
Yeah.
I was just so shocked by Ellie. She's not who I thought she was at all. And it's almost like as soon as she's in a relationship, she feels like she has the power to be much more smug and harsh.
Mm-hmm.
How she was when she was in the experiment seemed very sort of gentle and placid and meek.
Yeah.
And then she came in as this almost like evil queen.
Yeah.
I was like, who is this girl?
Well, neither of them, we can't say either of them are boring anymore. Or can we? Can they be boring and like...
No, they were infuriating.
Yeah.
The smug, honestly, their smug faces were driving me mad.
I know, it was awful.
And you know, like with some people, PDA is quite cute because you like them. Like if Timothy and Lucinda had more kisses, we would have been cheering.
Yeah.
Every time they kissed, I felt physically ill.
I know.
It was horrible.
Yeah. Because you could feel how awful that was for Lauren.
Yeah.
But also how it changed the atmosphere in
horrible.
The room.
They just weren't able to read a room at all,
either
of them. And I think they thought they were going to come in. I don't know. I think that's why I think he believes his own hype. Because I think he thinks he's the nice guy and everyone still believes he's the nice guy. And I think Ellie feels like she left and everyone was on her side versus Ben, for example.
Yeah.
So I think they thought they had the backing of the group. And they came in expecting everyone to like wave flags and roll out a red carpet.
Be really excited
and
for them
was
and
like,
everything.
And they
yeah.
kept being like, oh, we're so, we really like each other. We're so happy, can't you tell? And everyone was like, read the room.
I think the worst one for me was where somebody was talking and Ellie interrupted them to say, I have to say, I'm really happy with John. I was like, what do you mean you have to say?
I can't believe she did that.
It's all you fucking said.
I know.
Because I did think at that point, she's going to say, I have to say, you know, we know how we've come in.
Yeah.
We're sorry, Lauren. We understand why you were...
I know it's difficult for her. And it was like, oh, no, you're just saying the same thing you've said another 400 times already.
In case somebody didn't hear her.
It's almost like they came in thinking their happiness was everyone's paramount like problem. And everyone was like, I hope Jono and Ellie are happy together. I have to say, we are. And everyone's like, oh, thank goodness, we love you.
Yeah,
no,
we can have
read
a good night now.
I know. It's just that really, really ignorant, indelicate way of coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't get over it.
Yeah, I know.
And then obviously Lauren was, as you said, she was sort of shutting down a bit, which is quite unlike her. I've mentioned it before that in previous episodes I've applauded the fact that she hasn't done that and she's gone toe-to-toe with Jack and always stood her ground. But this time she was sort of shutting down and crying. And Jono was going, she's putting it on, she's faking it.
I know.
Because everybody could tell that wasn't fake.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Lucinda was saying to him, wasn't she trying to get him to acknowledge that Lauren was hurt and he was just having none of it. He was having none of anything. Wasn't he? It was just like, no, we're great. You, what was it he said to Ben? Shut your face.
Shush your face.
Shush your face.
Shush your face. Put a muzzle on it. I just, he's very black and white, isn't he? We said this about other people, but Jono just has that she's the villain and he's the hero.
Yeah.
And that whole, even they talked in those fairy tale tropes of like slay the dragon, kiss the toad, they found each other. It's like they think they're these heroes. I'm like,
yeah.
No one likes you.
Yeah.
And you've been edited to look horrific. Like, I wonder if they'll think they had a good edit, but.
Well. That's an interesting point. I know we keep saying, but we'll come back to that one later.
Make a list.
Because I actually think it's reasonable in a way to come in and say, we don't care what anyone thinks. I don't disagree with not caring what other people think. What annoys me about them is that it's the second part where they're rewriting the story of what's happened. If they came in and said, yeah, we had a spark. Yeah, the messages, although superficially innocent, we all know there was a bit of chemistry there, and then as soon as I got the opportunity, I thought it was something I wanted to pursue. I'm sorry, Lauren. Sorry, Ben, to a lesser extent.
Yeah.
But we felt something was there, and you know, we feel we're a good match. I would say probably not the best way of going about things, but fair enough. At least they're up front.
Yeah.
But this whole like Lauren's the most horrible. They were. Jono was so cruel.
What
to
did he
Lauren.
Say to her? You're the nastiest
person I've ever met. You're horrible. And then something else, which I can't remember if I've written that down. Yeah, you're horrible. You're the nastiest person I've ever met.
Which we just
when
knows.
She got angry, he went, no, this is who she is.
I know.
Just let her do it. It's
like, oh, bless her. And like, we know that's not true. She's not the nastiest person he's ever met because he said stay like 10 times.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even stand up. And sometimes I want to be at that table just to stand up for her and go, well, that's... How can you even say that's true? Because you've chosen to stay with her, you've chosen to sleep with her.
Yes.
She can't be the nastiest person you've ever met.
Exactly.
And then bless her, we cut to Lauren looking genuinely upset. Because like I said, having her character dragged. Mm. And she was like, just because I have a loud voice and I swear, doesn't make me a bad person.
Oh, no.
Well, that's it. They think Lauren... Jono and Ellie clearly think that
they think she's uncouth.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They're above her, but actually their lack of empathy puts them way lower than somebody who occasionally has a bit of a potty mouth. And we love Lauren, and obviously it means nothing how loud your voice is or how you, bless her.
I know.
Really wanted to give her a little hug.
Yeah, it was horrible. The whole thing was horrible.
Now this is where, you know, people were all having a pop at Jono quite rightly, and this is where Sarah started to come in saying, oh, there must have been intent there.
I know. Mm.
You're saying, you're the only person who's cheated on this experiment.
I actually thought Sarah was quite brave because she was putting her head above the parapit.
Yeah.
Am I using that analogy correctly?
Yes.
The thing is, when he was saying that, she didn't even acknowledge it. She just carried on, which was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But,
she didn't back down.
But then eventually that's when he brought up the whole thing, which about Tim, which again, I'm not sure I quite understand what the point was of all that. But he said that Tim had said if he'd had more time during the decision-making process before final vows, he might have gone a different way, which I don't think is a crazy, unreasonable thing to say. Hi, everybody. Just before we carry on talking about Tim and Sarah, I wanted to apologise for the barking you're going to hear in the background. Some post came through the door. Bagel went mad. I didn't think it had come up on the recording, but obviously it has... it's just for about 30 seconds, so hopefully it's not too distracting. But on the other hand, it wouldn't be our series finale without Bagel making an appearance. All right, cheers.
I guess what's happened is they've left the experiment and gone from strength to strength. So Sarah hearing that now is quite shocking because she's like, oh, we're a couple, we're together. Like, we've been together for like a month since we left the experiment. He was in that like weird post-experiment little... You're still whirling, your head's spinning, and you've been on TV and you're like, did I make the right decision? I didn't feel like I had very long to make the decision. I guess he's proven to himself and her that it was the right decision.
Yeah.
But he must have said to Jono, oh gosh, it felt really rushed.
Yeah.
And also...
But the wording of it is important though, isn't it? Because if he'd said, if I'd had longer, I would have made a different decision. It's very different to, if I'd had longer, I might have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a massive difference.
She kept saying, that's the same thing. It's like, it's not the same thing.
But also, why tell Jono?
Yeah.
Why are you daft enough to tell Jono? Tell, like, Ben. Ben's not that Ben. His mate Ben. Ben isn't going to tell anybody in the experiment, is he?
It is a really. Me and Johnny were talking about this. It's like, why do people tell their innermost secrets to people in the gym that they've known for three weeks, and then knowing that they can then hold it against them at a dinner party? It's almost like they give people the ammunition against themselves.
Yeah,
makes no sense.
And then Sarah was saying, no, you come to me if you have insecurities. Well, not if it's about you.
I know.
It's like the whole thing is I'm deciding whether I want to be with you. I decided I did.
Yeah.
And it's going well. You can't hold something against me from when I was in the decision-making process. Of course I'm not going to come to you and go like, oh, no, I've decided to stay with you, but you only made it by the skin of your teeth.
I know.
Lucky you.
It is awkward. I felt for both of them, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I've always liked Tim, and I felt like he was really on the under... never get my expressions right. He was really on the back foot there because he wasn't expecting that to come up.
Yeah.
And he didn't, because it was true, he didn't really have a get out. He was like so flustered. But I did feel for her because I feel like she has seemed to care a bit more genuinely week on week.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like she genuinely does want to be there, like him, whatever.
It's frustrating that Jono could push her button so easily.
I know.
That's the most frustrating part to me, because if she'd just gone... right, fine, Tim, that's also obviously something we need to talk about.
But it ended up being that at the afterwards. Table.
Well, this is... Jono stopped deflecting back to you.
And he was smug on it. Yeah. And then he had the audacity to say, oh, sorry, it came up.
I didn't think this would come up tonight.
Sorry, that was it. I didn't think this would come up. You brought it up!
How could you? You did it.
Also, you didn't just bring it up. There was a pause in the conversation and then you brought it up.
Yes.
Like, you purposely did it. Oh, I didn't think this would come up tonight.
But it shows, though, that this is kind of what I was saying when I respected her for not taking the bait of you're the only person who's cheated, because she let that go. But then as soon as she did bite on something, which I don't think was that big a thing, but she bit, she went straight back to the combative way she's been before. And this is why I fear for them longer
definitely,
term.
Definitely.
And then Jono kept saying things like, you deserve a better person than Sarah. Yeah. We all think that. That's horrible. That's also a horrible thing to say.
But we do see something at the commitment ceremony that's quite shocking about Sarah. So I wonder when we come to that. When we come to it, as we've said the whole way through the podcast, which is so annoying.
If we ever get there.
Just what people have seen of her that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, true.
I think as well, Tim was making the sort of mistake of following her around, trying to fix it. You know, I think he needed to just let her go and have a little vent and whatever, or just... You know, because he was. We didn't have the backstage pass to the old venue.
They were just out in the alleyway.
Actually, quite nice because they had all the plants and everything.
Much nicer place to have a mental breakdown rather than the lift. I get the sense that they are people who genuinely feel like they're in a relationship that's going somewhere. I got the sense that was a proper lover's tiff, and it was like, we're going from strength to strength. Now I've heard something you said 4 weeks ago that's really upset me.
Yeah. But then she did give us a bit of insight into why it upset her so much, because she said something to Tim like, you always do stuff like this, you always make it wishy-washy, you said something like that to Jade and blah blah blah. So it's connected with something in her because she's already feeling like he's downplaying the relationship all the time. I've heard him do it multiple times before.
She wants him to say stronger, more like
just we're together and that's that. But seemingly he's making it out to be wishy-washy, as she said. So that's why she was so annoyed about it.
They must have resolved it.
They seem quite happy at the commitment ceremony.
I know. Should we go to the commitment ceremony, or is there anything else at the dinner party?
I wanted to say, why did Ellie bring up the fact that she'd said to Ben past,
of course.
Oh, I think Jono's got a crush on me.
Of course.
Why bring that up at the dinner party when you're trying to defend the fact that your messages were innocent?
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it's the only time Ben has said anything useful
And that was when it was, shush your face, Ben.
Why bring that up
at that moment?
I think she genuinely is just smug.
It was
that, she got him, that they're together. That
he's
probably
always liked her.
Yeah, I think they probably think they're this power couple and no one likes them.
I remember saying a couple of years ago with Olivia how she's just absolutely torched a reputation on international TV. I think Ellie's done it in like record time.
No, in one dinner party.
She's not been in half the series, and in one dinner party and commitment ceremony, people. I mean, we're going to have a look again when we get to towards the end of the recording. People must be hating her online.
But Jono's done that as well. Jono's done that as well.
Oh yeah,
he could have come out of that relationship with Lauren like, oh, you know, we like each other, but actually longer term it's not going to work.
Yeah,
he could have come out of that really well.
Yeah,
but instead he just like blew it all up, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah,
and relationships often start in like a messy way. It's how you handle it. So like, is this the point where I say when I met Johnny, he had a girlfriend? But it wasn't like we weren't texting behind the girlfriend's back. It was like once we met, it was a clean break, and then we waited until we started dating. La la la. Just in case she's listening, but that is actually true. But like, relationships aren't always that you're both available and it's all clean and no one gets hurt. But it's how you handle it. And like Ellie and Jono could have handled it in the complete opposite way.
Yeah.
And people might have backed them a bit. They might have come in, like, tail between their legs a little bit and gone, I'm sorry people got hurt, but we really like each other. We'll just keep a quiet profile on this dinner party because we don't want to dominate. Yeah. But they came in and dominated with their snogging and their awkwardness.
But even the need to come in together after only dating supposedly 3 weeks.
It's a lie. I mean, they've been laying the groundwork.
You don't need to come in together then if you've only just started seeing each other. You might still come in separately and then it might come up and you could deal with it, but you don't have to walk in together.
They wanted
that's purely
to have
for
that,
drama.
Yeah, they wanted to have that impact.
Yeah.
So, to answer your question, yes, it is a good time to talk about the commitment ceremony. Right.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, Omar, Sarah and Claire. This is friend of the podcast, Michael Armstrong, the only person this season who has actually impersonated Omar and got away with it. Live from a Nicaraguan bathroom with not one but three pieces of information that I can give you now that the season is all over. I do have to say to Sarah, sorry, I know I'm on these podcasts more than you are, but this is how it's going to work this week, I'm afraid. Number one, to answer a question you had on Tuesday's episode, the reason that Tori knew about Ellie and Jono's sex is from Andrea. Andrea met up with Ellie after they both left the show. Ellie was bragging about the text, and Andrea and Lucinda are best friends. Andrea texted Lucinda, and Lucinda also apparently brought it up at the commitment ceremony, but that wasn't included in the episode because they needed to focus on Tori being malevolent. Number two, to preempt a question you probably had this week, Ellie called Lauren a fucking bitch at the dinner party, and that was what was censored. It didn't even appear in the subtitles, kind of find out, because I did actually look at this at the time. And number three, the reason that Tori and Jack stormed out of the reunion is because as soon as they started watching the video, they realised that all of Jack's shitty comments were going to get brought back up and that they were not going to get the golden couple edit they expected. They genuinely did walk into the reunion expecting to be the strongest couple when Jane and Rich exists, and they thought that they were going to get the best edit of anyone. I have to say, on behalf of all the listeners, thank you for a load of really fun episodes this season. I will be back for Maths UK, probably with less insider information, let's be honest. See you later.
Hey.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, I enjoyed that voice note very much.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Wow. There is.
I guess we'll come to Jack and Tori.
Yeah, but
how deluded can you be?
Delulu. Well, that's because that was quite complex. I've listened to that a few times about how the information came out.
Interesting.
So Ellie and Andrea are mates,
right?
So Ellie told Andrea. Andrea and Lucinda are mates, so when they met up, so, right. And so Lucinda knew. I'm not still not quite sure how it got to Tori.
No, but I guess the producers didn't want to use Lucinda as a mouthpiece because she's the golden girl. Yeah. They wanted to allow Tori to take one for the team.
Yeah.
Which worked in the end. But this is why I'm trying to keep like a bit of a cynical head on sometimes, because I know things are massaged to work with who knows what and when and how.
Yeah.
But... It doesn't prevent how you see people act in the moment. This is why these dinner parties are so interesting, because people's like reactions live and their lack of empathy and stuff. That's what we have to go on.
Yeah. There's Andrea, Lucinda and Tori aren't relevant in the "I left the experiment 5 weeks ago, you fucking bitch."
I know.
What is that?
What has John... This is what I want to ask. What has Jono been telling Ellie that Lauren is like behind closed doors? Because it's that classic thing of when you've got, like, for men, just to generalise, the ex is crazy, the ex is... Don't believe anything she says.
Yeah, he's
like,
doing her jack.
Yeah, exactly. She was so nasty to me. She was XYZ. You're so lovely. You're my princess. So obviously, I think Jono's been telling Ellie that Lauren's been a nightmare. Yeah, and now Ellie's like defensive of Jono, her knight in shining armor. And she's like, well, you're a bitch because you treated him badly and you never gave him a chance. And now I see him for his worth. I'm enlightened. I can see that he's a good guy and you never gave him a chance.
That's a good point.
We often criticize this program for the number of recaps, but the recaps of Lauren and Jono's relationship were brilliant.
That was so good.
Just showing him clearly being happy. Yeah. Lobsters on the barbecue.
Having a laugh. The genital cupping.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was a gorgeous edit. Yeah. Really clever. Really, really clever. Yeah. And I kept watching Ellie when it came back to Ellie thinking, is she going to wake up here and realise she's been duped a little bit?
Even though we slept together on home stays.
I know.
And I'm glad they put in the bit about, I can't wait for the reunion and you can ask Ellie about what those messages were about. It's like, oh, gosh.
But he still didn't look, like, he went a little bit red, but he still didn't look ashamed of himself.
He sort of tried to laugh it off, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's like, how...
Well, it's how I felt at the time.
Yeah, I know. And also, like, because this show is mostly about feelings, it is very subjective and you can't really hold people to account. You know, like when we've seen with Jack and Tori, if she says she feels safe, that's what she says she feels. Yeah. If Jono says he didn't fancy Ellie, that's, we can only know what he tells us. We know he's lying.
Yeah.
But because it's subjective, he can say that and believe his own words.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Which is why it's quite frustrating. You don't get the answers you want. You don't always get people held to account in the way that you want. But that was a good edit. A really good edit.
It was perfect to show just what a load of shit he talks. I mean, the whole, I waited a week and then Aranga...
That's not true. That can't be true. Because they were texting every 3 days and that was already him trying to play it down. So I think they were texting more than that. Lauren obviously saw. Once Lauren knew, I think the text would have gone up in volume because everyone knows anyway. So why would he wait a week when he's single to phone her? He would have been texting her straight after he'd said his vows.
Well, yeah.
Alessandra was kind of holding, you know, keeping on with that
also
point.
Also a phone call. Suddenly it's a phone call. Yeah. I love her.
And you knew just on the basis of that one phone call.
Yeah, exactly.
Not from the messages.
No,
I didn't know. And he kept saying, I didn't know her before. I didn't know Ellie. I didn't know Ellie. And I'm glad Alessandra said, you can have a crush on somebody without knowing them.
Yeah.
You can have a crush on somebody from afar.
She was brilliant. She was really holding him.
Well, she was really trying to pin him down on why Ellie. So did you message...
Why on earth, Ellie?
Yeah, but did you message other brides? Did you talk to other people in the experiment? Why did you choose to ring Ellie? Yeah.
Well, Ellie wasn't the only...
No idea.
Ellie wasn't the only one around. It's like, but why Ellie?
Yeah.
And also when he's... Like you said, Claire, when he's mentioned other people, it's been Stephen, Michael, Tristan. He's never said another girl's name. And I very much doubt if he did, it would be anybody that we'd have our, like... You know, our spidey senses would be going. It'd be like Andrea or Cass, and I don't think he's had a flirtation with
either of them. And that's the difference, isn't it? That's why we all know there was something in those messages.
Ultimately, it was quite unsatisfying because although Alessandra did an amazing job, he didn't admit anything.
I know.
No, no. This is the problem, is that, as you say, it's all subjective feelings and what have you. What you want from this kind of thing is for them to go, oh, you're right, you know, you got
us.
Me. I'm sorry, you want genuine remorse. But people who act like that very rarely have that breakthrough moment of giving you the genuine remorse. So these kind of things always end up being unsatisfying.
It's true.
And then it cut to Ellie, because it was Lauren and Jono on the sofa. It showed Ellie and she said something like, I really like Jonathan. I think everyone can tell. But she said it in such a weird way as if, like, she had the backing of the group.
Yeah.
And like, I think everyone can tell how happy I am. I was like, again, read the room.
Yeah.
Everyone's on Lauren's side at this point because she's on the sofa crushed talking about how she's been betrayed. And Ellie's like gloating.
I know.
I just found it so strange. Like, that lack of empathy.
It's more important to the whole group that she's happy. Yeah. That she found love.
I know.
You know, the person that's...
Yeah, but like, they're on their way to, on the journey towards love.
But when you see that sort of lack of empathy, it is quite jarring. It feels so odd that they haven't got that self-awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
And not to feel any shame or awkwardness.
But I did a tweet which basically said that her lack of awareness in situations like that might make her the perfect match for the man with a circuit board for a heart. It's like neither of them have any. Someone said, I think it was at a dinner party, sorry if you've mentioned it already, that you know, you could show a little empathy, and they were just going, empathy, Lauren never shows any fucking empathy, and all this is like, actually, really Lauren shows a lot of empathy.
Yeah, they've really painted her in a certain way, and again, I think they both believe their own lies.
Definitely.
Or Jono's fed Ellie a script, which is why, with that edit of Lauren and Jono's relationship being a lot happier than he's probably told her it was,
yeah.
I wanted a bit more of a reaction from Ellie of being like, oh, so you were in a happy relationship when you were texting me. But he can feed her another lie of like, well, then it quickly disintegrated and I realised I liked you.
And she doesn't want to believe that they were happy at some point anyway, because if she can believe that they were always unhappy and he went through hell and cut glass and all this kind of stuff, then she can feel like the one
their relationship,
you know,
is even
it's
greater.
It's perfect, our relationship, and you had to go through all that just to find
exactly,
me.
Exactly, that's what I mean about the fairy tale. Yeah, exactly. Who was next on the...
Tim and Sarah.
Ooh. Oh,
this
is...
Because they were... You're right, they did seem to... When they first sat down, they did seem to have...
Resolved it.
Yeah, improved a lot from when we'd last seen them at the dinner party.
Yeah. So this was one of the most shocking moments for me of almost the entire series, not to be dramatic.
Well, it was that the recaps came in handy because they showed Cassandra's thing. That's what kicked it off.
And I wasn't sure whether Cassandra would be squirming and go like, oh, they're showing the bit that I said behind the scenes. And then she doubled down. And we obviously, I'm interested in your opinion on this. I'm massively interested. As soon as I watched it, I was like, oh, I wonder what Aaron and Claire are going to make. Because we've always liked Cassandra. She seems to have been the voice of reason.
Yes. Yep.
She felt very strongly about Sarah Sara.
Yeah.
And based on what? Because we haven't seen them hang out. I remembered one incident when Sarah snapped at her and when she pronounced her name slightly wrong, but obviously none of us know what she's called, so it's like I'm on Cassandra's side. It's Sarah, not Sarah, or Sarah, not Sarah. And completely snapped her, and I remember Cassandra like going back into herself, really shocked of like, whoa, that was out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's the only interaction I remember seeing.
That's the only one I remember.
There was a commitment ceremony previously where Cassandra had said, when Tim's with us, like his friends, he's not the same as when he's with you. That was fairly
more fun or whatever.
Yeah.
So where do you think that outburst came from?
Well, what did you say?
Oh, well, I wonder, and this is so basic, but does she fancy Tim in some way? Does she wish she'd been matched with Tim instead of Tristan? Would she have had a better storyline, a better match? You know, I don't know.
I think they're probably better matched than she was with Tristan. And the reason I mentioned that thing at the previous commitment ceremony is not just because that is another incident where her and Sarah have clashed, but a lot of people said around that time, I think she fancies Tim. You're not the only one.
I mean, he's quite a classically good-looking boy. And he's nice. I didn't get that. But I was like, wow, where's this come from? And again, it's frustrating because we only show what we're shown.
I know.
And like, obviously we know Sarah's lied. It's been proven.
Yeah.
But for that outburst to be so, like she said it with a whole chest.
Yeah.
And it was like in front of the whole group and it was going to be on TV. And because I feel like Cassandra has been really good at speaking up, but she's not somebody who looks for the drama.
No.
But she really went for it there.
Yeah.
It was very extreme as well, wasn't it? You're fake.
Everything you say is fake.
Yeah, it was so extreme.
And because it was so extreme, I wanted almost like some concrete examples.
That's what I think. She needed something to back that up.
Because then
you're gonna, in front of the whole group and the experts, say, you're fake, I don't believe a single word you say, everything's a lie. It's so extreme. You need something to kind of go in there with.
Because when she was asked, I can't remember if it was John or somebody asked her,
I think it was John,
what do you mean by that? She just said the same thing again.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I want to be on Cassandra's side because I do like her as a person.
I like her more than Sarah.
Exactly. But I'm like, well, where's the everything you say is a lie, everything you say is fake? Where's the concrete evidence?
Mm-hmm. The problem is some things don't have concrete evidence.
It's just a spidey sense, like I said before.
Yeah, because I was going to say, and people aren't going to like this, I wonder if race is an issue. Now, there's no concrete evidence of anything like that.
Right.
And I know people go, oh, well, you can't just jump to the race card. And I agree, you can't just jump to the race card, but, you know, we're just speculating about different things. And you can tell when someone is a bit off with you. Now, that might not, it might not be to do with race, but...
As in, Cassandra felt like she was mistreated by Sarah.
She might have felt that Sarah treats her differently.
Mm.
And again, no concrete evidence of that. I might be totally off the mark. It could be that Cassandra fancies Tim, or Sarah's a bit off with Cassandra for any number of
maybe
other reasons.
Just clash.
But this is one of those things where, as a minority who has had very little prejudice or discrimination against me in my life, it happens, and you can
feel it.
You can feel it in the same way women can feel when a bloke's talking to him and has not said anything overtly sexual, or
it's just condescending, or just patronizing.
Or it's like, you know, when someone's trying to chat you up, you know, when someone's a fella's being condescending.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can tell if there is something there that is like, this person does not like me on a visceral level.
Which would be an interesting play out then, because it was Michael who backed Cass.
Yeah,
and that did feel like they were backing each other in, like, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you in this scenario, babes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, and I know some people will probably say, oh, they're disappointed that I brought this up. But it's crossed my mind, because this is what happens when people say about, like, oh, not everything's racist. It's like, no, not everything is racist, but some things are, and it's not always, there's not always a smoking gun. In fact, most times there isn't a smoking gun.
I think it's an interesting point that could, it, you know, even just to talk about it, it is an interesting point. And Cassandra was never welcomed into that girl gang.
Yeah.
As well, and it might be that sense of, like, why wasn't I in the white girl gang? You know, it was very much the other girls. Like, it was Eden and Lauren and Sarah and Tori. And it also disintegrated after a while because they all hate each other. But yeah, I can imagine that maybe there is something in that. Obviously, it's hard to say.
Because to me, it's Michael's involvement that might have tipped me towards thinking that. Because it also makes more sense of why Michael blew up at Sarah around that campfire
more than
I thought was warranted, because he was saying there was other stuff, you know, you're always talking to me in this way or whatever, you know, there was other stuff there. And again, I could be talking absolute shit,
but it's an interesting,
we'll never know,
me and Claire are sat here as white women, and so it's actually really interesting to hear that perspective, because it's your experience of being in a minority in certain scenarios. So it's that, like, gut feeling that we don't know. Like you said, we can feel it as women with some men.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? And we won't know.
No, we'll never know.
But that outburst from Cass, it was fascinating.
Yeah, you know, to answer the question of why didn't you give any concrete examples? Because there aren't any.
Yeah, it's just that feeling of, like, you're fake.
Yeah, she's, for whatever reason... And again, could not be race, might just be something to do with her personality. They have othered her.
Yeah.
I think for her to feel that strongly.
Yeah. But then she doesn't hold that against Eden, Lauren and Tori. It's just against Sarah.
Yeah, not that we know
of. How am I on the final episode and I don't know how you pronounce this woman's name?
She did have that run-in with Tori, though, remember?
Oh, yeah, about Timothy being smug.
There was a run-in with Tori as well.
Cass did.
Yeah.
Oh, and actually that, I thought, was much more of a microaggression in terms of race.
Because she
put her down in the pecking order.
Food chain and all that.
I thought that was horrible. Yeah. So actually, maybe Cass has been getting it from all sides.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Anyway, so who was next on the...
Well, hang on, just before we move on. I mean, we'll have a look at the end, but what's your prediction for Tim and Sarah? If we can.
Oh, are we going to check out? Because obviously we know Lauren and Jono aren't still together.
let's finish off the episode, then we'll have a look.
Predictions. I think Tim and Sarah...
I think no.
No, I think no.
I think no. I don't know. I'll say yes just to play the other side.
Because how far, just remind me again, how long are we from
maybe like 4 or 5 months
commitment ceremony reunion?
Or longer, maybe like six.
From when that was filmed, how far are we now?
Oh, I don't know. I want to say like four. Yeah, did you say 4 or 5 months?
Longer, because it had to finish in Australia and then be aired, and then we've had a break before ours even started. Then we've just finished in the UK.
So let's say six months, because we're only a month now.
So that's becoming quite a long term relationship. 6 months.
I think not.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be together 6 months down the line. Nah. Next up, Jack and Tori.
This was a bin fire.
Well, John just... I thought I was watching the episode from 2 weeks ago when he just started rattling off Jack's misdemeanours.
No. I'm glad he didn't continue the list.
To be honest, he didn't need to do that because, again, the edit was so amazing. And also, Tori was seeing things in that edit she's never seen.
Yeah.
She was seeing him on honeymoon say there's no spark. Oh,
and she finally got to see the intimacy thing.
Yeah, she was seeing the intimacy week thing to Alessandro, which was a few weeks in, three or four weeks in, and him say nothing there.
No.
And she was cringing, and I'm so frustrated because I don't think she was cringing at Jack. I think she was cringing at the producers and the experts not believing what they have.
Yeah,
and every time you think
that way,
when she was sort of shuddering and head in her hands and like looking away and almost like smirking or whatever, or looking whatever, I kept thinking, oh, she's seeing him for who he is. Finally, on the last episode, this is going to be the brilliant story we've been waiting for.
Yeah, I wonder if a tipping point might have been, did they show the bit where he went on the date with Jade?
No.
I wonder if they'd have showed that.
Because that was really late into the process, and he was like, oh, she's not all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah, and as well as being like slavering.
Flirty with Jade. But I'm not
that
sure.
That would have been good to show.
Yeah.
But I've said this before, I don't think anything at this moment could change Tori's mind. Because if she saw Jack murder someone in front of her, I think she'd be like, that's not him though. That's not the real him. He was provoked.
Yeah.
Nothing sways her, and John was literally rolling his eyes. He was like, come on.
Yeah.
This is the final episode. We've just given you a highlights reel of everything he's done wrong.
Yeah.
So sorry, friend of the podcast, Michael, says he thinks they walked in expecting to be the golden couple. How on earth can they think that?
God knows. Just because they've made it to the end and they're still together.
And they were still together at the reunion.
And they have
they're trying to prove everybody wrong, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And they've come through all these, you know, stormy waters to arrive at a strong relationship and all this. It's like, are you fucking mental?
I mean, I was surprised that she said he'd spent a week in Melbourne.
Right.
I know, because, so was I. Because he doesn't like that area.
Exactly. He doesn't like Victoria.
And he doesn't like Tory.
Yeah. A whole blooming week.
They had, as he described it, a contract in place about how to manage a long distance relationship.
Why was he listing their communication?
And then he said they sent content to each other. Say no more.
Oh, God.
When he first said they had a contract, my mind did jump to, what was it like? At the gym, like off-peak hours, access to the pool.
So when she was watching that horrific edit, did you all clock the moment when he leant in, kissed her on the shoulder, and literally said, good job?
What was that even at, though?
Like, it was like training her, the dog training.
No, but I mean, what bit in the VT?
Was it the you can't tell me how I feel?
Oh, bit, was it? Maybe. Right.
I'm not quite sure.
Oh, like, God, I know.
I want to cry.
It was awful.
He doesn't even pretend to hide the manipulation. The manipulation has been like dog training her with little tidbits and little good job, well done, good girl, la la la. And he does it in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Ah, it's so blatant. It's painful.
Yeah, and the group's reaction to their vows.
Oh, God.
Was it Sarah that said that was weird?
Shuddering.
Or Eden, maybe.
I think everybody was shuddering.
But one of them said that was weird.
And even
that was
like,
really weird about his final vows.
I know. His final vows were horrific. But then for everybody to have seen it play out and only have seen snippets, so they've seen a bit of the dinner party where they've been there in person, they've seen a little bit, but then to see it edited and see behind the scenes and see stuff he said to camera, see stuff he said on honeymoon, you could see them all just be like, right, this is it. This is where Tori wakes up and smells what's going on. Mm-hmm. And because she didn't, their faces were our faces at home.
Yeah.
What are we watching?
Yeah.
What is she fighting for? What is she staying for? What is happening?
I thought it was when John asked him, like, what have you learned from this? He's like, I need to, I speak too quickly. You know, I say things without thinking them through. It's like, no, that isn't the problem.
Yeah.
I thought what you think is the problem.
I thought the most revealing part was when she said, we leave and it's fine. We come back here and it's a shit fire. And I was like, yes, because the only time Jack is held accountable is in front of the experts. You don't hold him accountable for any of his behavior. So, of course, it's smoother sailing when you're away from the experts because nobody's telling him that he's behaving badly. You're just pandering to him and he's whatever. So you come back here and you associate other people with the problems and you associate the experts with being the problem. Mm. But all they're doing is holding a mirror up to his behaviour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had this, I've talked before about being in a toxic relationship. It was a long time ago, but I remember that feeling of he would say to me, it's fine when we're just the two of us. Have you not noticed? We need to just run away and just, and I'm like, and then he would make out the other people were the problem.
Yeah.
Because my friends and family were like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And trying to intervene.
Yeah.
And but he's like, it's fine when it's just the two of us. And now it's so Jack and Tori of being like, oh, when we're away from
it's
you lot.
This group.
It, and it's that, it's, what's it called? When you're isolation technique thing. Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Off they went. They left.
Off they went. Oh, no.
Storming out because...
into the Gold Coast sunset with his nipples hanging out.
But what's, but what's going on in her head? Like, I don't understand how you can see that slideshow and then walk out together.
Well, in her head, it's like they've deliberately picked out the worst bits and they've shown none of the good bits. And obviously...
That's true.
It's
easier to find the hard, the bad bits.
Yeah,
were
exactly.
The cameras even on when there were good bits?
Well,
you know, this, this doesn't happen. It doesn't seem
you know
like
what?
It.
She might be. There is a small, a slim chance she's totally correct. And they had an amazing time. And Jack's a really nice person. There could be.
Maybe.
There's a world where Cassandra's awful and we've just not seen it. You know.
But like, I don't think we can say Jack's a good person because we've seen terrible things come out of his mouth.
That's true. But I just mean the edit.
Yeah.
And when she's already in this defensive state of like, why, you know, why are they showing all this? Why aren't they showing us overcoming the problems? Because that isn't the story.
It's a better story if we see all the horrible stuff he did again.
The only
that's better for the viewer story, I'm
the
afraid.
Only vindication I feel with Jono and Ellie and Jack and Tori is that the viewers are seeing what we've seen and so the public have their opinion that is the same one we have and so they haven't had their hero journey that they wanted and the wool hasn't been pulled over our eyes.
No.
So even if it's so frustrating.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see when we come to the end.
I know. I can't wait to see if this does together. So then there was no Jade and Ridge.
But can we talk about the logic?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yes.
Because what on earth was that?
He's got
too much logic.
I think I know what that is. I think I know what that is. I think her point doesn't get heard because he will argue her out of every point.
More like Jaden.
Yeah. And so the too much logic is that he wins every argument because he's like, well, this, you know, he manipulates.
So he's got too much logic because he hasn't got any emotions.
Yeah.
So then he just talks her out with logic and like
he's just all clients and logic.
You know,
no friends or feelings.
So that then she doesn't have any feelings either.
Well, that's it. Yeah, he's not. It's one thing being logical, but he's got no empathy.
Yeah.
Which is... you know, just
the theme of the episode.
Yeah.
No
empathy. Yeah, totally. It's been the theme of a lot of these relationships.
Yeah, it really has.
It?
Yeah.
Were they the penultimate couple?
Yeah, then it's...
It was so strange because we were looking at the time on the laptop and being like, well, we've only had two couples, but it's been three quarters of the time. Thinking, are we not going to see Andy and Richie? Are we not going to see Jade and Ridge? Are we not going to see Ash? Are we not... And there's so many people that didn't make it to the couch.
Yeah.
And then I think... Are we going to come on to Lucinda and Timothy now?
Yeah.
I felt there was... a mirroring of what we saw with Jessie and Claire.
Right.
So Jessie and Claire were the last ones on the couch.
That's right,
at the end of the last Australian series, and we were led to think there was a little bit of hope there.
Two wedding celebrants.
Two wedding celebrants.
Yeah.
I just have such an affinity with my people. There, we were led to believe there was a little bit of hope there.
That's true, yeah.
And it was the biggest couple of the... season in same way Timothy and Lucinda well in a similar way we liked them both and there was a misunderstandings and it was a journey and then again both wedding celebrants. I went straight onto Jesse's social media because I was like, a little bit of hope. Mm. And he was like, oh, that wasn't the case at all. And he immediately had a post like slating how it was edited.
Oh.
And then the way Lucinda and Timothy left it, it was interesting because I'm not saying there's not hope, but she said she's parked any romance. She's taken it off the table. Mm-hmm. And then they were like pushing him. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? It's like, there's always hope or something. I'm like, is there?
No.
I thought you'd agreed you were going to be friends. So are we being purposely misled? Do they want to leave us on a little high? On a little...
I don't think there's any hope there. I don't know about purposely.
Everyone was clapping
misled.
As if like they were going to get together.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of editing gone on there. I think there's a bit of acknowledgement from Timothy that I've not had a relationship like this before with anyone. But I don't think any of us think, and I think he knows.
Yeah,
you know,
it just wouldn't work.
It would have been nicer, I think. I think it would have rounded things off nicely if they'd have just said, "We have a unique relationship," and you know, Lucinda's in particular changed Timothy's outlook on life.
Yeah,
but we're amazing friends. Yeah, you know, something like that.
That's what I mean. It was a bit like, we're not that stupid. Like it felt like the edit at the end was that we were going to fall for it. But I was like, no. Also, we really respected how Lucinda put herself first at that point and was like, no, I'm drawing a line under it. And so it was almost like the line was being erased.
Yeah. I thought that recap video was amazing.
We should give props to whoever did all the recaps because they were all really, really good.
Theirs in particular, it was like laughing, then like, oh my god, that's really moving, and then laughing again. It was brilliant.
I've just realised, were Jaden and Eden not on the sofa either?
Yeah, they were. I was going to say,
oh, were they?
That we've missed them.
Oh, no, I totally tuned out.
Were they
just
on?
Totally tuned
the
out.
The way we that. Both tuned out.
What did they say?
Oh, yeah, because they gave
Alessandra.
They gave the photos.
Sorry, we totally skipped over them. But there, we'll find out. Again, I'm just wanting to see who is still together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It's weird that we just totally forgot about them, isn't it? Not invested. Because I remember doing tweets about when Jaden was, you know, they were going through the rocky patch with the whole him just badgering her and her shutting down.
Yeah.
And I remember doing some tweets thinking, oh, these are going to be big tweets. They'll get big numbers. Because I think what Jaden's doing in particular is like, I think people will really relate to him not appreciating the way he's acting.
Mm.
And no one really seemed bothered. They did all right. And I was like, and so then I did a poll. Like, basically, do you guys care about Jaden and Eden? And no one really did.
No.
No one was fussed.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, I
don't know what it is.
I said I think it's because we don't really see him having fun. And I can think of a couple of moments like that intimacy week where he put the whipped cream on his chest, which I just found like a bit cringy.
Yeah, it was
cringy. But it was them having fun, I guess. But other than that, I can't think of any other.
Yeah, well, the one for that KFC picnic.
Yeah, the KFC picnic,
I'm being really impatient now because can we cut to the bit where we find out if people are still together?
Okay.
Yeah. Because I have one in my hand.
Okay, go on.
We've talked, well, the last couple on the couch were Timothy and Lucinda.
Yeah.
We've talked about them. So am I jumping the gun?
Are you got,
by
is
going,
that who you've got in your hand?
No,
Timothy
I have
Lucinda.
Somebody else.
Oh, well, let's do it in an order then.
Well, I've got one in my hand.
Go on then, who are you starting with?
Does anybody want to know if Ridge and Jade are still together?
Yes, but I think our prediction is yes.
Yeah, I think they're still going to be together.
I think they're still together.
As of one day ago...
Oh!
They're still together! There's a little reel and they're on a date night. And then I was like, as long as it's not the only one...
Oh, a reel? Oh, she's
and
blonde.
And then there's a picture of them on holiday. Yay. Looks like Bali. Oh, anyway, they're still together. And that was like 6 days ago.
Yay!
So yay!
Good.
I don't know if he's moved. Perfect. I don't know if he's moved up to,
to
live
point.
Near her. But these are all from April. Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm happy for them.
That's great.
Are you ready for the second reveal?
Yeah, go on.
I found Jaden and Eden.
Right. Not together?
Sometimes in life, things don't always go the way you'd hoped for.
I fucking knew it.
They broke up mid-April. Actually, no. He says our relationship ended not long before the end of the experiment was aired. So I think as it was going out, a couple of months after, they'd already broken up. But actually, they did a joint... they did a joint, like, statement.
On Instagram.
Yeah, and it was quite nice about each other.
What's it, mutual uncoupling?
I'm so glad
or...
I got to go through this, conscious uncoupling.
That's it, yeah.
I'm so glad I got to go through this with such an amazing woman and a beautiful son, and there's a picture of the dog. So I think that's probably, even just for show, it seems amicable.
What actually happened, though?
Well, I can imagine what happened is they just went back into the same old pattern, which is what I... I sort of predicted in a previous episode. Who else is that? I've seen, I'm just looking now, Lucinda and Timothy still seem to be
mates.
Spending a lot of time together. She's moved.
Caught up with this divine hunk of spunk recently in Sydney. Tim and I proceeded to ping pong back and forth our usual prick bitch dialogue as recent divorcees. Love you, Timbo. Oh, they're good pals. That's cute. Oh my goodness. Okay. Are we ending on whether Jack and Tori are still together?
Yeah, I think we should.
We should have done a spoiler alert at the beginning of this whole section, but I think if you're still with us, you're still with us.
Yeah.
One day ago,
right,
a photo on Tori's account, Jack, you are my whole world.
Oh.
Wow.
I cannot. Wow. Well, I can believe it. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the thing. If I'd had to put money on it, I would have said 6 months removed, they're probably broken up, but I'm not surprised that they haven't. But I wonder, you know, if they're just waiting a certain amount of time
to make
it public, maybe.
And get a sponsorship deal or something.
Because I still don't believe they'll be together. So
it's been 6 months or so, we're guessing, and a day ago she said, you're my whole world. So that is now like a long-term relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you last this long, maybe you do have
maybe
a leg
that
to stand. Yeah, maybe you do have a... Wow.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because it's a double-edged sword. It's like, I kind of think, if they break up any time within the next 2 years, I'm going to feel, well, maybe not 2 years, definitely within the year after the experiment's finished, I'm just going to feel like, oh, they were just waiting.
So, because
then they could say, like,
that was in their contract.
It was a significant relationship.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out. We split up 8 months after the experiment ended. It's like, hey, well, 8 months isn't that much, especially when you're living in different cities. I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt until they're, like, been together for a few years.
Okay, I actually forgot one couple. I'm sorry, I've done all the announcements. Do you want this one, Claire?
It's Sarah and Tim.
No.
Oh, because I found something on Sarah and Tim.
You go.
George and Peggy?
I've got Jono and Ellie.
Oh, God. Well, let's do Sarah and Tim. So this is on...
Oh, have you got them?
Okay. Well, it's not on theirs, okay. So I don't know if it's official. But this is a post on The Wash online,
okay,
which is about reality TV.
Okay.
If you're wondering what happened next for Sarah and Tim following last night's episodes, they split around 4 weeks after the reunion was filmed. We're told Sarah found out Tim had been vocal about doubting his future with her to other co-stars up on the Gold Coast, despite telling her the opposite and he wanted to be together, prompting Sarah to end things.
Right.
But we knew that he'd been saying things at the dinner party that came out, so I wonder if they broke up quite quickly after that particular night.
Yeah.
He's believed to have been in a relationship with a Brazilian woman.
Oh, he loves South America.
So, Tim has a type, and there you go.
His type is Mamacita. Yeah. Jono and Ellie, what do you think?
I think they're together.
Are we ending on them?
I think they're together. I think I wouldn't surprise me if they stay together long term.
As of a day ago.
Ooh, long term.
As of a day ago, he called her his honey pie.
Oh, no!
Six days ago, this week, yeah.
Oh,
there's pictures
goodness.
Of them up to life together.
It wouldn't surprise me quite soon if she's pregnant.
To be fair, if it wasn't for all the drama and them having no empathy, you can see how they're quite well matched.
Yeah.
And if he'd handled it completely differently, he could have said to Lauren, look, I know this is going to hurt you and I'm so sorry, but I feel a spark with somebody else.
Yeah.
Is that okay if I pursue that? Like, it was just the way they went about it. Because obviously that's how life happens. Like, these things aren't...
Yeah. What do you think, if they'd have been matched from the beginning, I can't even imagine what their road bumps would have been. But
I think they would have got on really well.
Yeah.
But do you think we would have liked them?
No. I think this would have been a thing where we wouldn't have been engaged as viewers.
Yeah. We would have forgotten about them.
Yeah,
in the same way we sort of don't care about Jaden and Eden. I think it would have been the same with them.
True. I agree.
I'm gutted that Jack and Tori is... Although, to be fair, I said it takes him off the market and they can have each other.
Yeah. Wow. So maybe they are the golden couple.
Oh, wow. They've won.
They won.
Wow.
They won the game.
It's quite anticlimactic, isn't it? We've given like 45 hours to these couples and we're like, oh, they're still together.
Yeah. You know when Game of Thrones was in like series 5 or something? It was going towards wrapping up.
Mm.
And I was thinking, you know, at that point it was still decent. And I was thinking, you know what would be good is if the baddies actually won. And I wouldn't put it past the programme at that point, which was quite surprising and well written, for the baddies to actually win. A lot of people would have been disappointed with that, but I would have loved it because I would have thought, wow, what an amazing story. The baddies actually won, and it happened. I would have really loved it.
You saying that's what happened here?
I think that's what's happened, and I don't love it.
No.
So is that us?
That's us.
Oh my goodness, I feel exhausted. I need to have a lie down.
Yeah.
I put my sunglasses on.
one quick highlight of the series. The one image that keeps springing to my mind is Collins in that dune buggy taking selfies while Natalie's
Natalie was sunburned.
Yeah. Poor Natalie.
Oh, bless him.
It has to be a Lucinda thing.
Yes.
I
quite liked when Lucinda's dad held Timothy to account, and then he started giggling because he was like, "Fair enough." His dad was literally calling him names, and he was like, "Okay,
that was amazing.
You got me.
Have a one night stand with my daughter."
Oh my word!
That was probably
I don't know.
Can't think of many others now.
We've watched 9 weeks of it.
I know. Well, that's because one episode, it goes in and it goes straight out again because you've got the next episode straight after. I don't retain them. I haven't got the headspace.
There's been some juicy drama. It's not been my favourite parts, but there's been some
Lauren calling Jack a glazed Christmas ham.
Yeah, any moment with Lauren in. Any moment with Lauren.
They were good. Hi everybody, just before you hear the three of us wrap up and say goodbye, it's just myself and Claire at the moment. Sarah had to shoot off to pick up the kids. It was quite a long recording today with all the reunion drama, but we wanted to make sure that we said thank you. Every series we do, the show gets bigger, and this time we've had a lot more interaction with people, I think.
Yeah, the Instagram interaction has been a highlight.
Yeah, you've enjoyed the Instagram, haven't you? Finding out where you can get those earrings from.
Yes, our listeners are very helpful.
Yeah.
But we're grateful to them for that.
We're grateful to them for that, but we're mostly grateful to them for the donations to Bowel Cancer UK. Yeah. We set up the Just Giving page when we did the live show, and I just wanted to give everyone a nudge, really, that we're going to close that probably the day after the series finishes. We're going to be posting the total amount we've raised. You'll see that on our socials in the next couple of days. Thank you to everyone who came to the live event.
Yeah, that was a big deal, wasn't it?
That was a really big deal. It was really exciting for us, and if we were frustratingly close to selling out.
So close.
Yeah, so close. Thank you to Mel, of course, for giving us her time. But yeah, thanks to everyone who's donated.
It's the first time we've done anything like that, live event or any donations.
Yeah.
Both went really well.
Yeah, it's great. And to see the messages on the Just Giving page, I saw one from Jojo Richardson who said she sadly lost her partner quite suddenly from bowel cancer.
Yeah,
so it's sad. You know, it makes us feel quite good that we've done something.
Yeah, yeah, something good has come out of us just talking rubbish.
Other people saying that they see it as like a thank you to us.
Yeah, the podcast is free.
Yeah, which it shouldn't be. You should be paying for this.
So quality content.
Consider yourself lucky. thank you. And we'll get back to the three of us saying goodbye.
Yeah.
And we'll see you in the autumn.
Yes, thank you very much. Happy summer.
Well, yeah, that's us for this series, then, I think.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Until the autumn.
Ooh.
I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Sarah Clark.
I've been Claire Limmer Abid.
Time to put a muzzle on these women.
Oh, no!
How could you?
Cannot end on that.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.